The Bible declares in the book of Psalms, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So I want you to turn to somebody right now and say, hey, I may know you, I may not, but I am glad because I'm in the house of the Lord. Come on, turn to somebody. Say, I am glad to be in the house of the Lord. I am happy. It is a joy. It is a great thing to be in the house of the Lord. So come on. Come on, make your way down to the altar. Come on. Come on, make your way down to the altar out of your seats. Let's begin to give our God a shout of praise. Let's begin to worship Him. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our worship. Father, we thank you for this day, God. It is a privilege to be in your house to worship you. We lift you up. We magnify your name. Father, there is nothing more important today than you. So, God, we lift you up in this sanctuary. We lift you up in this tabernacle, Father God. Receive our worship. Receive our praise. Open up our hearts to receive from you today. And we thank you in advance for the breakthroughs, for the miracles, and for the testimonies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Are we ready to praise God this morning? I'm so excited. Come on, clap, 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 clap. Come on, let's get ready to give Jesus the highest praise this morning.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Our God saves.
Our God saves.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Highest praises.
Highest praises.
Oh, hallelujah.
Jesus, let me hear a shout. Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
God saves.
Our God.
Come on.
Saves.
Sing, oh, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, I thank you. My
heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you.
Come on, clap.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, my soul cries hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, my soul cries hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Come on, can I hear a thank you to Jesus? Go ahead. Lift him up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, out of your mouth, just praise him right now. Just praise him. This is not the time to be quiet. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy, God. You are constant, Jesus. You are faithful. You are our miracle worker, Jesus. We lift your name up, God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just sing this out.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Yeah.
Oh, receive my worship, all of my worship.
Here I am, Lord.
Come on, if you need a refilling of the Holy Spirit right now, just go ahead and get your hands up.
Fill me up, God. Fill
It is no shock that Monday through Saturday, there are things that go on in our lives that just suck the life out of us. Who can attest to that? That you leave Sunday, you are just amped up, you are just jacked up, you are so excited, but then Monday comes along, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and by the time you get to the house of the Lord, you are just drained. But I want to encourage you that this song is not just about filling you up just to the top, but it's talking about overflow, where I don't have to wait till Sunday, and never again do I have to be dried up. So as we sing this song one more time, I don't want you to just sing it saying, Lord, just fill me up just to get through Saturday. But Father, fill me up to overflow so I will never thirst again. Fill me up to overflow that I will never be dry again. Fill me up to overflow, Father God, that I will never minister from a place of barrenness. I will never minister from a place of just enough. But this will be the season of more than enough. Come on, get your hands up. Come on, come on, cry out to him. Cry out, be your heart cry. Fill me up, God. Prophesy running over in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. To overflow, God. With every hand lifted in this place, Father, we receive your anointing for more than enough. We receive the gift and the promise of overflow. Father, I thank you that this morning was the last morning we will ever be dry, we will ever be barren, we will ever operate from just enough. But Father, I thank you that in this sanctuary, at 16 Level Acres Drive, there's a remnant of people, God, that you can trust with the overflow, God. You've heard our worship. You've heard our praise. You've heard our prayer. So, Father, fill this place in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We worship you, God. You are deserving of this time. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe that, shout amen. Come on, if you believe that, shout amen. Amen. Come on your way back to your seat, hug a few necks, say good morning. You look wonderful this morning, and we are so glad to be in the presence of the Lord.
Where we go, shake it off, our leaves. to walk the road of the straight and narrow. Use the compass underneath, guided by these echoes. All these trees and leaves we left behind, memories that take root again. How's it happening? No one knows. As the graveyard is where we go. Shake it off, shake it off. Our leaves are there. Strong enough.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are you this morning?
Best Western in Sayre.
That is not convincing at all. Is anybody excited about Jesus this morning? Oh, come on. There you are this morning. Welcome. We'd like to welcome you to the house, the family of God. And we also would like to welcome our live stream family this morning. Thank you so much for making God first in your day. We know when we put God first, then all other things are going to come together according to the word of God. We would also like to welcome our guests this morning. Do we have any guests in the house? Any guests, just raise your hands. We have a guest right over here. We have a gift for you this morning. Anyone else? We have some guests over here in the back. Oh, guests over here as well. Any other guests this morning? Just keep your hand up because we have a gift for you that we would love to make sure that we get to you. Some, again, over here towards the back. Keep those hands up. You want this gift. It is awesome. I love it. Any other guests that maybe we might have missed this morning? Okay, still right back here in the back. We would like to invite you over here. If you go out these back doors around and down this hallway, there will be a room that is labeled guest reception. And we would love an opportunity to get to know you. The pastors will be over in that room and we have some coffee and refreshments. We just want to tell you a little bit about what is going on here at His Tabernacle Family Church and really to build relationships. Jesus was a relationship man. We're going to be a relationship man and that is or and woman. And that is one of the best things about who we are here at His Tabernacle Family Church. We are all about building relationships, and that is a kingdom mindset, a kingdom principle. So we would like to let you know that our annual business meeting will be next Sunday, February 4th. So if you would like to hear about the business that happens yearly within the church, our finances, our plans, what we've accomplished for the kingdom, we'd like to invite you out to that. Also, Outreach Saturday training and impartation is February 10th. So we would like to invite you out for that as well. And then our next baptism is February 25th. And you want to make sure that you sign up online. And I have to give a plug for baptism. Because if you have never been baptized, this is not just a public proclamation of the fact that you have gotten saved. This is a supernatural transformation that will occur in your life. So if you have never been baptized, please make sure that you sign up to do that. It will supernaturally supercharge your relationship with Jesus. On that note, I would like to turn it over to Josiah for our tithes and our offerings.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How is everybody today? That's a little quiet. So we're going to enter into our time of tithes and offerings this morning. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Malachi 3, we're going to go right to verse 10 from there. Before we get started with our tithe, I just want to take a minute and pray for our senior pastors this morning as they are out ministering in Kentucky and building relationships and divine connections down there. We want to make sure that they're blessed and that their travels are safe. So, Father, we just pray for our senior pastors this morning. We thank you for them. We thank you, Lord, that you have placed them in this house and that you're sending them out to the multitudes, Father, so that they might share the gospel and build leaders. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to start right here with our scripture. And how many want to be blessed and prosperous? That's it? Just a couple of you? So in the scripture, this is the one place in the whole scripture that God says, test me in this. Test me in this. He actually wants you to do this. It's not a suggestion. It's, hey, test me in this. So he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. He wants to have an open heaven for you. He wants you to have access to that, and he asks you, test me in this. How many know what a tithe is? It's 10%. 10%, right? So how many of you had coffee this morning? How many of you went to Dunkin' Donuts and had coffee this morning? How many of you haven't had your coffee yet? How many of you don't like coffee? All right, so there's a couple of you. So think of something that you really do like. What if the next time you went to the drive-thru at Dunkin' Donuts, God himself was there, and he said, now listen, I've only got 10 cups of coffee left in the whole world. That's it. 10 cups of coffee. You can have them. But see, one cup of coffee is holy unto me. And if you give that cup of coffee back to me, I'm going to make sure you got coffee all the days of your life and everywhere you go. So 10 cups of coffee or 9 cups of coffee to keep it going. See, he wants to plant that seed and keep it growing and keep it fertile and keep that open access to open heaven. So you might be down to your last $10 this morning as you sit here. And you might think, I don't even have anything left after this. I don't know where my next $10 is going from. But God said, if you just give me one of those, just one, and you keep 9, you can have the 9. But if you just give me one, I'm going to keep the open access to the open heaven for you and continually bless you and make sure. The next part is, then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. That means he's going to tell the enemy to get off your finances. If you just give him that one cup of coffee or that $1 bill, he's going to tell the enemy to get off your finances, and you're going to have more than enough. Does that sound good to everybody? It sounds really good to me. All right, so if you just stand up this morning, we're going to receive the tithes and offerings. If you just repeat after me, we're going to do it a little bit different this morning. Whew. Thanks, Terry. That was his fault. He walked behind me. So we're going to do it just a little bit different this morning. We're going to just speak to the Lord as we take the offering this morning. We're not just going to shout it out just to shout it out, but we're going to shout it out to him. So here we go. Father, I believe I am blessed in my storehouse. I believe that I am blessed in my basket. I believe that the blessings are going to chase me down. I believe that they are going to trip me up. Because, Father, I am your child. I'm blessed. Come on and give your tithe and offering to the Lord this morning.
Here is my worship. at the Hub today. How was that? Was that pretty good?
Yeah, it was good.
Okay, awesome.
I was here the whole time. See, sometimes you need to have a little fun in your marriage. Starting April 12th to the 14th, we're having our very first marriage encounter. First deposit is due today of $150. Please see us at the Hub.
I am so excited about this upcoming event called Revitalized Worship Night. It is on Friday, February 9th at 7 o'clock. So we're just going to let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. We're going to let it flow. So if you would like to come out and join us for a night of worship, I would be so excited to see you there.
The second annual Women's Encounter Reunion is scheduled for March 1st through 3rd at the Best Western in Sayre. If you've been on an encounter weekend and you know who you are, you need to sign up for this event. It's a great time of refreshing and a recharge with God. Contact me if you plan for the whole weekend and I can get the details to you. But the best news is, if you can't make the whole time, you can come Friday night for just $40. Get a hold of me and get signed up.
Coming February 11th. Don't be left out in the cold.
Good morning, Histep family. How's everybody doing today? So, I have the pleasure to be your speaker today. Amen. I'm so excited. Pastor Spencer, he loves me so much, and he thinks I'm such a great preacher that, you know, it's been like only a couple years. But anyway, I want to thank our pastors. They had a moment on live stream this morning to capture some of what's going on here back home, but they got home, then they left town, so they're down in Kentucky ministering through Empowering Pastors, the Treadways. I know Josiah already prayed, but let's just take a moment real quick and pray for our pastors. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, for the divine appointment, Lord God, that you have for our pastors in Kentucky and throughout even this world, Lord. The ways that they're reaching this world and how they're developing leaders, Lord, I just thank you for their heart, their passion, Lord God, to travel, to equip, and to continue to invest their lives into other leaders. So, Lord, I pray your blessing upon them. I pray, God, for your protection upon them, and angels surround them and bless them and keep them until they get home and onward, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. It is a pleasure and honor to serve you guys here. Again, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Pastor Dan Dykes, and I serve here as the associate pastor. And, you know, a lot of people see me on the video announcements. I play around. I have a good old time. But, you know, I just love to get up here and encourage people. So it is awesome to be in front of you this morning. I just want to cap off with that. But how many know that here we are already at the end of the year, or excuse me, at the end of the month here in January? We just got started, right, in 2018? But we're already here at the end of January, and, you know, most of us are just getting settled in. But I believe here we are going into each year, we're always striving to do better, to be better than the previous year, right? But how many of us know that most times that's wishful thinking? We end up sliding back into old routines or habits and back into the norm. But here in 2018, I believe this year will be unlike any before. How many else believe that? Is there anybody else in here that believe that 2018 is going to be greater? You know, I'm not just saying that because it's a new year and it's like, you know, the slogan to go with when you're encouraging people. But I'm telling you, 2018 is going to be a great year. I'm not just saying it, okay? I'm not pumping it up. I believe that we're going to have a dynamic year at His Tabernacle and, of course, the body of Christ. Things that were held up, here's where I'm at. Things that were held up will be released in this year. I declare that, and I want you to hear that, because a lot of times we fight those emotions. We fight that pain of, like, how long, Lord? When is it going to come forth? And I'm telling you this morning that things that were held up are going to be released in 2018. Amen? Amen. So last week, we heard Pastor Spencer talk about short-circuiting. How many got that message from last week? Yeah, he almost zapped himself, but, you know, it was really cool. He took a circuit, basically just put them together, and obviously when you have a negative and a positive, there's always a spark. And so he was talking about how so many times we get short-circuited in our lives, and he was challenging us to find where we're missing the connection. But this week, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about finding out where our capacity is. We're talking about our capacity this morning. And I want to start off in the text verse here, found in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And I'm going to start here in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." Here we are. "And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." There's another portion in a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 that Paul actually speaks about. So, again, looking at it from the Hebrew standpoint, many attribute the book of Hebrews to Paul being the writer. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24, to go along with this, it says, Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one who receives the prize, run in such a way that you may obtain it? Now, this morning, I'm going to put a little bit of a twist on this because I thought if I brought in a treadmill. Anybody like treadmills in here? I do. But if I brought in a treadmill, I would probably be winded while I'm trying to preach. I mean, it's pretty much a given, right? But also, if I had somebody volunteering to run on the treadmill through the whole service, I'm going to guess that they probably would have passed out. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe we got some marathoners in here. So we're going to take a look at this race just a little different. You like my car? That's my car. That is my car, not yours, mine. Here, let me give you a little better glimpse. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to look at this from a standpoint of a NASCAR driver, a.k.a. Dale Earnhardt Jr. Now, listen, it's good. I'm you know, honestly, I was never a Dale Earnhardt fan because I was like a Rusty Wallace guy. But Jr., you know, he's the most popular, right? And he's also retired, so I'm in good shape. So Dale Earnhardt Jr., he has quite a responsible role to fill as the driver of this expensive car, right? He has to know all the gadgets, he's got to know all the gauges, and of course, he's got to know how it's handling, right? So during the race, what's going on, he's got to be able to communicate to his team what's happening in his car. But what's the most important thing he must pay attention to? What is the most important thing? So in order for Dale Earnhardt Jr. to even finish the race, he has got to fill it up. He's got to have the gas, the fuel. He's got to make sure that in order to get through this race, he's got to be able to go back in, make a pit stop, and fill up. So he starts the race with gas, right? How many of us start a race with gas? Okay? But in the middle of this race, while he's going around this track, it doesn't really happen that fast, but let's just, you know, go with it. So you got these cars. Now, I used to work at Watkins Glen Raceway, and those cars are loud, okay? But let me tell you something. They have to get gas. They have to fuel up in order for Junior to finish his race. He's got to fuel up. So what he does is he comes in. Now, of course, we're talking. This is usually not a fill-up gas thing that they use for NASCAR, but Just stick with me. So they stick this in there, and they fill up, right? Does it stay? Glory! So he's not going to drive his car not look at his gas gauge, right? He's gonna keep his eye. You pay attention to what's happening on his gauges. He's got to see where his fuel level is. He has to know what's happening inside of his car, right? Am I getting somewhere? So he needs to know and be able to determine when he needs to refuel. Now, typically, that we know that the tires were going to run out before needing a refuel, due obviously to the higher rate of speed, but we're not going to talk tires today. But now in a normal NASCAR race, there must be multiple or frequent refills in order to complete a race, which also increases the chance to win. So I bet you're asking, how does this apply to my life? I'm glad you asked. Thank you. There's three areas that I'm going to cover this morning. Number one, some of us are so poor in our thinking and don't believe that God can completely fill us up. I'm going to say this again. Some of us are so poor in thinking and don't believe that God can completely fill us up. The second one is some only believe God will give us just enough to get by while still not completely filling us up. And the third thing there is, then there are those who know and believe we serve a God of more than enough, abundantly, overflowing, greater shall you do kind of filling up. That's the kind of people that we need to be. But I'm here to tell you today that God has more for us than we could ever imagine. But the capacity of how much we receive from God is not determined on Him. It's determined on us as the driver. Amen? So when we talk about capacities, when we're referring to things like capacities and how much we need and how much we're getting in our fuel tank, we need to know, we need to know where we're at. You got to be able to check out your gauge. Where is your gauge? What is it saying? When you're looking at the dashboard, where are you at? Are you running on E? Are you at a half a tank? Are you filled up and full and overflowing? Thank you, Terry. So what happened was I looked around to see what the common thing people do when they needed fuel and could not find what I was looking for. How many of you get on the internet and you think Google knows everything? Yeah, don't. Just Google it. Not this. So what I did is, some of you in this room actually saw on Facebook, I actually created my own survey asking some questions. Did anybody see that online? I did a fueling up survey. Thank you for answering for those of you that saw it. All right, so here what it was is, number one, I asked the question, when do you get fuel? When do you get fuel? So what it was is I asked the question, when do you get fuel? Do you get fuel when you are half a tank? Okay. Do you get fuel when you are quarter tank? Or do you get fuel when you're on E? On E. Empty. Okay, so that was the first question. That was a survey again. When do you get fuel? The second question of the survey was, how much fuel would you get if you had an empty tank? How much fuel would you get if you had an empty tank? So the first one was just enough to get to where you're going, half full, or fill me up. Okay? All right. So I was curious to see how people would operate, because it's generally routine where, when, and of course how much gas you get, right? Everybody's pretty much, you know, it's like a normal thing, correct? I would hope. Anyway, so. All right, so out of all the responders that we had on Facebook when I did the survey, there was 140 responders, right? So out of 140, here's my results. In the when do you get fuel, there was 20% that said they do half, which actually kind of, you know, intrigued me a little bit. Then there was 37% that said that they get filled up at quarter tank. 42% of y'all said you wait till it's on E. 42. So what I did is I took quarter tank and I took empty. And I combined those two and I came up with the number 79%.
So 79% of you have your gas gauge all the way down to quarter tank or below that. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Because what's happening is when you got 80% of us that are waiting until we're at that place of quarter tank to empty, where are we at when we're talking about our relationship with Jesus? Come on. Now, the results for how much would you get if you had an empty tank, there was 4%. This actually blessed me. 4% of you said that you would do just enough to get to where you were going. I'm really sorry for the 4% of y'all, but I'm proud. I'm proud. I think it's awesome. So then there was 11% of you that said that you would fill up halfway. So if you were on E, you'd only go to halfway. Okay? Now, some of the answers were quite intriguing. Like, they went, like, really profound. Like, I would do it this way and this way. And when it's wintertime, then I do it this way. And if it's springtime, I'd do it this way. Summertime, this way. I'm like, yo, I just asked a real blanket question. Just get to the point. I don't need to know all the ins and outs and all the other stuff. But listen to this. How much would you put in your tank if you're on E? 84% of y'all said you would fill it up. Fill me up! 84%. I was intrigued by that because I thought to myself, usually when you go to the gas station and you're on E, and I'm going to just speak from personal, I'm one of those quarter tanker kind of guys. And so usually what happens, you go to the gas station, you're on E. Typically speaking, I would think to myself, you're not going to spend $50 to fill your tank. You might spend $30, and you get up to like three-quarter tank. But 84% said they'd fill it up. It's impressive. I'm impressed. But so what we're looking at is what we need to understand is there is always a cost. There's always a cost. The cost here is time. The more you value your time, the higher cost it is to fill up more regularly. I'll say that again. The more you value your time, the higher the cost it is to fill up more regularly. Some of us don't want to take the time. Some of us don't want to arrest our minds to be able to sit down for a little bit of time to spend with Jesus. Some of us just keep going with the busyness of life. Some of us are so captivated by the things of this world or what's happening around us. Listen, I'm telling you, I'll be the first one to tell you, when I sit down and spend time with God, I have a hard time shutting my mind off. I really do. And what I've been arresting myself to do, and I'm putting myself on the chopping block right now, and I'm going to confess to you, I made it a point this year that I'm going to get up at 4:30 in the morning. Why? Because it usually takes me about a half hour to wake up, number one. Secondly, if I'm getting up that early, my brain better not be thinking that hard. Can I get an amen? So it's something that I've got to do. But the thing is how much time are we spending regularly with him? See, we want the results of having a full tank, but we can't spend the time with him? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. But then there's also the cost of running out. The less you know about the future or what the future holds, the more often you should fill up. Oh, so you don't freak out. Now, when you run out of gas, what's like the emotion that comes up in you? You're like, you get this feeling inside of you. It's almost like that feeling when a police officer pulls you over. Jody Dykes. Her response is usually, oh, snap, they got me again. But you know, when we start to actually get to the place of when we talk about the issue of running out, when we run out of gas, there's an emotion. We're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Some of us don't have AAA. Some of us don't have, like, you know, somebody that's right next to us that's got a gas tank. Listen, somebody was telling me, like, when my wife was having this issue with, you know, running out of gas, and they're like, well, put a gas can in her car. I'm like, really? What kind of fumes are going to be going through the car if I put a gas can in there? I can't do that. I could tie it to the top of her car, but that just would look really odd. But here we are. When we run out of gas, we freak out. But listen, how many of us are already on empty when it comes to our walk in relationship with Jesus, and we're freaking out about life. We're freaking about all these situations, and we're coming to God and we're crying to Him, but that's the only time we ever come to God and cry to Him is when we're run out. Come on, we can't always go to Jesus only when we're empty. Can I make a statement here? Someone's emergency isn't always your urgency. I'm going to say that again because as Christians, as people of God, we have a desire and a heart to help people. But let me tell you something. When we're helping people, a lot of times we don't even realize we're enabling people. Someone's emergency does not have to represent your urgency. Amen? So here's one major factor that we have got to identify before determining where we're currently at. Here it is. What excuses are we using? What excuses are we using? I'm going to tell you about what the Lord told me not too long ago. I like to throw myself under the bus just because I that kind of guy. He said to me, "You have become very proficient at making excuses." He told me, "You have become very proficient at making excuses." I had to sit down. That was a kind of hard spank, but a good one. And this is where we're all at. Don't you know how I have this problem or this situation going on? Who said that or heard that before? Come on, be honest. Well, I don't have enough time in a day. I'm not the only one who has run out of gas before. Excuse. I didn't see the gas gauge indicator light flash. Excuse. Well, the other driver is stronger than me, don't you know? Excuse. Come on, people. Listen, I'm preaching because I was receiving this from the Lord, but I'm preaching it to you today because let me tell you something. When the Lord told me that, I said, you know what? No excuse is going to represent any kind of value when I'm standing before Him in judgment. Not one. Not one excuse am I going to be able to come up with that's going to have any kind of validity when I'm standing before my God. And you know what? We're all going to be standing by ourselves one day. We're all going to be held in judgment. We're going to be held accountable for our words and our works. We're going to be putting ourselves in that place. But let me tell you something. If we don't start making the position and changes in our lives so that way we reduce the excuses and we start making a transition to becoming more activated and challenge ourselves to do what God wants us to do, I'm telling you, your life's going to change forever. So why would Dale Earnhardt Jr. get into his race car if he knew that there was no hope in winning this race? Now, I'm not going to get in his car because, there's nothing there on the other side. But he wouldn't get in his car if he knew and had no hope of winning this race. Are you with me? We've got to eliminate the excuses, and we have to start getting filled up. Amen? So, number one, so many are running on empty and running out of gas. I have a couple different pictures I want to share with you. Media team, if you'd like to throw that. Oh, yeah, there it is. Throw that first one up. So let me just explain this. My wife had a tendency. Now, listen, I said had. Now, she's on the front row. She already knows. And by the way, when I put the survey out, somebody, there's a lot of people that are like, well, what did Jody do again? We go with it. So put those pictures back up. I want to look at them. So anyway, this first picture here, you could see my face. That was a real face. I wasn't like, I'm here. I'm having fun, put some gas in a car. She's going to work, and she's on the highway and saying, oh, my gosh, I'm going to run out of gas. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. because I'm here at the office working, and that means it's an inconvenience for me to have to go and fill her up, right? She thinks it's funny. Put up the second one. So as you can see, this is clearly a different time, okay? This is a completely different picture. This is on a Sunday afternoon after church. She just, I don't know, wanted to go run the roads. And so I'm like, what are you doing? She's all the way out by the airport on the highway. I go, what are you doing out there? And of course, you know, I ran out of gas. Oh. Actually, I think Chris was with me at the time. Oh my gosh. All I know is that I was really kind of, you know, irritated. But let me tell you something. That's two times that you've gone on picture. Can I tell you that she's gotten better since then? Yeah? Let's give praise to Jesus. She's been delivered. But that wasn't only two times. I'm telling, like, there was a couple times she called me up. I think actually her grandfather had to come bring her gas one time. And then there was another time in Pine City when she went to go pick up the kids, and then somebody else had to go help her. I'm like, she called me up. I'm like, you're on your own. Why did I say you're on your own? I said you're on your own because I was enabling her, and she thought it was okay and kept running out of gas. Now, I'm picking on my wife, and she's okay with this because we talk about it all the time. You're okay with this, right, honey? All right, let's stay on task here. So many are running on empty or running out of gas. Let's revert Matthew chapter 13, verse 12. I'm going to actually read this scripture out of the Amplified Version. It says, for whoever has spiritual wisdom because he is receptive to God's word, to him more will be given, and he will be richly and abundantly supplied. But for whoever does not have spiritual wisdom because he has devalued God's word, even what he has will be taken away from him. Are you listening? This is big stuff, people. The second thing is, how many are only half full? Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Here's the verse. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way. This is the message. Reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and I'm running, and I'm not turning back. You see, we've got to say to ourselves, I'm not saying that I got it all together, but I have it made. Okay, I don't have it all together, but I'm going forward. I'm moving in the direction that God has designed for me. You might be half full right now, but let me tell you something. Half full doesn't mean that you're half empty. It means I'm going to go forward. I'm going to continue to fill up so that way God can use me in the way that he designs. The third thing, we need to be filled up and running over. We need to be filled up and running over. I'm going to read out of the Amplified, Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It says, may the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. You see, when you get so full, when you're filled up, now I know some of you in here, you kept the gas nozzle on too long and the thing didn't click off. And then next thing you know, gas comes, you know, shooting out. I used to work at a gas station, and this is many years ago. And let me tell you, when you get gas all over, it gets the you know, car all junky. But you know what I'm talking about. When we get with Jesus, when we spend time with the Lord and we get filled up, what takes place is we fill up. There's no cap. See, God doesn't want to put a cap on us. He wants our capacity to be not just filled up but overflowing. Are you listening to him here? Because when we overflow, what happens is, as it starts to come off from us and it starts to come down, who's it hitting? It's hitting other people. It's affecting other people. When other people are affected, then guess what? They come to you. And that's one of the things. If you are empty, if you are quarter full, if you're half full and you want to get filled up, get around some people that are filled up and overflowing. Are you hearing me? Get around those people. Get around people that are going to lift you up. Get around those people that are going to be truthful to you, even if it hurts. Get around people that are going to build you, encourage you, and strengthen you. Come on. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, and my God will liberally supply. Here we are. Fill to the full. Come on. Listen, do we believe in the Bible? Do we believe in the Bible? And my God will liberally supply. Liberally means it doesn't matter. He has no restrictions. There's no limitations. None. He said, I will fill to the full your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. And he who believes and cleaves to and trusts and relies on me, here we are, will never thirst anymore at any time. How many's bellies in here growling right now because they're hungry? How many in here are thirsty? Want some aqua? Want some water? Thirsty. You see, God is the provider. He said to the woman at the well, she didn't realize who he was, but he said, I have rivers of living water. Therefore, there's going to be a flow coming out of him that's going to flow into you. And listen, when you're connected, the divine connection to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, what takes place is you get filled up and you start to overflow. I'll tell you a vision that the Lord gave me one time. He gave me this vision, and I was in a desert. And it was like a drinking fountain, okay, a drinking fountain like, you know, what you used to have in school. I don't know what they have anymore. But a drinking fountain, and there was water flowing out of it. I'm like, what is this represent? Because it's in a desert in the middle. He said, you, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let me tell you something. It's not in me. It's in him. But when I'm connected to him, it's going to come forth and it's going to flow. Because I'm not here just to represent myself. I'm not here just to get what I can get and that's it and die. I'm here so that way I can be a life to somebody else. I can help somebody else. I can encourage somebody else. I can build and strengthen somebody else. Is anybody with me in here? Come on. This is good stuff. You can't... Listen, I preach to myself. I praise myself. I don't care. The end of the day, guys, listen, we have got to connect to him. We've got to put ourselves in a position, in a place of where we say, you know what? Nothing's going to keep me from my God. Nothing's going to keep me. That means that you've got to arrest yourself. You've got to make a sacrifice. Like I said before, there's going to be a cost. There is a cost. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you energy. You guess what else it's going to cost you? Friends, there's people in your life that are holding you back, and you don't think you can let them go. Listen, if they ain't following you, you're following them. If they're not following you, you're following them. One of the things I speak and declare over my kids, and my son's right on the front row, my daughter's right over here, they'll tell you, I pray over them every single day, you shall be a leader, not a follower. We're going to read the book of Psalm 23, chapters 1 through 5, and I'm reading the Amplified Version. I like the Amplified Version. It really brings out life, amplifies it. See, what happens with Psalm 23, though, is typically we're going to recite the prayer or the Bible in Psalm 23. We can recite it very good. But just because we can recite it doesn't mean it's in us. For years, and listen, I grew up in a Baptist church, and we recited it just like everybody else. But I'm telling you right now, it's in me. It's not something that I recite. It's not something that I speak. You know, I don't care where I'm at. You can be at a funeral. You can be anywhere else, and they'll recite Psalm 23. It's a powerful scripture, but it's not powerful until it gets in you. It doesn't make a difference what you say out your mouth. It's what's in you. So here we are, starting in verse 1, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. To feed and to guide and to shield me. To feed and to guide and to shield me. I shall not lack. I shall not lack. Come on. Are you hearing me? We're not reciting this Psalm 23 scripture like we are before. We're not in. Do you understand what I'm saying? Get this in you. I shall not lack. He maketh me, or makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. You see, God isn't going to give you something that's just like half-baked. He doesn't want you just half full. He wants to bless you. He's providing us a fresh and tender green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. What does that mean? That means that, guess what? I don't care what storm's coming at us. I don't care what tornado's coming at us. I don't care if there's a hurricane. He said, I'm going to walk beside still waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him. Not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the deep and sunless valley of the shadow of death. Let me say something about this. Deep and sunless. Deep and sunless. What does that mean? It means it was actually a mountain. It was a mountain range. Some of you don't even realize that. You've been saying this scripture for so long. Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Let me tell you something. That was a literal place. It was a literal place. It was a mountain range. And guess what? When the sun hit that mountain and you're in the valley, there's no sunlight. So in the deep and sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or tread no evil, for you are with me. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. When we start brimming and running over, when we're so full of God, it don't matter what's coming against us. It doesn't matter what attack may be facing us, what issue, what situation. It does not matter. What matters is that we're full. We're brimming over. That means that we have such a tight relationship with the Lord and divine connection to him that it doesn't matter what we're facing. It doesn't matter what we see, what we feel, what we hear, that God still has control of the situation. He's getting us through. He will make sure that we have a way out. Amen? You got to understand, Psalm 23, this is our benefit package. It's our benefit package. We all go to work and we get a benefit package. I got health insurance, dental, vision. I don't know what else, chiropractor. Listen, when we look at the what God has for us, Psalm 23, that's our benefit package. Are you listening? Say, Psalm 23 is my benefit package. So we have this great desire to want something different from our lives, but when it requires change, many times we lose hope and we give up. I'm going to say that again because, you know, I just want to make sure it gets in there. We have great desires to want something different from our lives, but when it requires change, many lose hope and give up. So here's a question. How do I keep filled up in order to stay in the race? Anybody want to know this? How do I stay filled up? It all starts with the Word of God. It starts right here. Word of God. What does that mean? That means you got to open it up. It means that there dust, when it's on your shelf, nothing happens to it. Not only nothing happened to it, nothing happens to you. Pick up your Bible, open it, read it. There's life. This is your manual to life. This is your manual to eternity. This is your manual for everything that you do in life. You know, one time I was like, Lord, what do I go to read? And he said, you know what? You don't need to find a specific place. He said to me, wherever you open, there's always life. He said, it don't matter where you open. You can open up in Genesis. You can open up in Leviticus, glory. You can open up anywhere in the scripture. Those of you that know Leviticus, you know what I'm talking about. Come on. Doesn't matter where you are. This is life. So you got to start with the Word of God. That's where you got to start. Then it's time in prayer. You've got to have your time in prayer and being intimate with the Lord. Do you react to God? This is a quote I heard this week. Do you react to God as quick as you want him to react to you? Do you react to God as quick as you want him to react to you? Now, here's another thing. You've got to find what drives you. You've got to find what drives you. There's something inside of every single one of us. We have a passion. We have an interest. There's something that drives us. You know, for me, I'll tell you honestly, I love playing baseball. That's my thing. You give me a glove and a baseball and a bat, I'm on the field. Every springtime, I smell it, the aroma in the air. I love baseball. It drives me. And what I said to the Lord many years ago, because I had such a passion for sports and for baseball, I said, Lord, I want to have a greater love for you and a passion for you than I have for sports. And you know what? He has gone above and beyond and blessing me in that regards. But you've got to find what drives you. What's the fuel that causes you to get up in the morning? What causes you to go to work each day, day in and day out? What drives you? Listen, I'm telling you right now, you know, we could say, well, it's the money. It's not the money. There's people that will make, you know, this money and they take a job that they like to do and it's less money. Or vice versa, but it's never about the money. Money is obviously, it's a byproduct. It's a byproduct. You've got to find what it is in your life that drives you to the place of where you go all out for Jesus. I'm saying you go all out. That means that you get filled up, you overflow, and you start to impact and make an effect on people's lives. The more time with him, the constant refueling you have to keep pressing towards that mark that he's called us to. You see, we really need to take a self-perspective evaluation. Where are we? Where are we in our walk and relationship with God? You see, I get a half an hour, 40 minutes to encourage you. But how much of this are you going to remember? Are you going to remember the car? Are you going to remember the suit? Or are you going to remember that God wants to fill you up? See, the reason why we do these representations, and I want to give praise to SWAT team. They're awesome. Awesome. Can we give them a hand clap? Every week they do something. Every week there's something special that we have an opportunity to look at to be able to remember this. But you know what? I have you for 40 minutes to encourage you. This isn't just to encourage you for the day. It's not just to encourage you for the week. This is to encourage you for the rest of your life. You know, I pray that y'all remember this message for the rest of your life. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm special or anything, but I'm telling you. I'm telling you because God wants you to hear this morning. He wants you to know it's time to fill up. It's time to stop at the gas station. Not wait until you run empty. He wants to fill you up. He wants you not just to be full. He wants you to overflow. That way you can make a difference in people's lives. That means that other people around you are going to be able to you know what I'm saying? People come to you like, what is it about you? There's something different. That's a compliment. Are you listening this morning? I want to end with this scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. And that you may come to know, practically through personal experience, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled up throughout your being and to the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think. That means infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is worked within us. You see, if we truly believe that God had more for us, if we truly believe beyond our imagination that God had greatness in store for us, would we live differently? Would we walk differently? Would we talk differently? You see, this morning, God wants to fill you up. You know that gas survey, the fueling survey, was really to pull out where I think a lot of people are. A lot of people are running on E. Run empty, making excuses, saying this and that about how they can't get even half full. I'm here to tell you this morning that God doesn't listen to the excuses, but he has an opportunity for you to fill up. You see, this is not a condemning message. This is an encouraging message. He's saying, the fact is, you're empty. But the truth is, I'm going to fill you up. Can I have everybody bow their heads? Thank you, Jesus. The first thing I want to do this morning as we end is I want to give everybody, anybody in this room that has yet to have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to have Him as your Lord, the one that you can connect to and fill up with. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and this morning you know that you need Him in your life and you want to receive Him into your heart, I want you to raise your hand up. If you want Jesus as your Lord, if you want to accept Jesus as your Savior, thank you. Amen. Your life will never be the same. Is there anybody else in here that would like to receive Jesus? Maybe you've been backslidden. Maybe you serve God and you've gone so far away. But you know today's the day that you need to rekindle that relationship with Jesus. I want you to raise your hand up if that is you. If you want to rededicate your life, thank you in the back. Amen. You see, Jesus is calling on people this morning. And listen, church, He's calling on you. He's calling on you to fill up. He's calling you to fill up. This morning, if you're in this house and you've been on empty, you've been on empty, you've been half full, maybe even quarter full, and you want to fill up, I want you to stand up. You want to get filled up this morning. I don't care who's around you. It doesn't matter who's in front of you, behind you, next to you. If you want to get filled up with God this morning, I want you to stand up. Amen. Amen. Jesus. Jesus. You see, God's calling you. The anointing's calling you. Holy Ghost, I thank you right now that you're calling upon your people to fill up. I thank you, God. If you want more, you want to fill up, I want you to stand up. This is not about coming to the altar or anything like that. This is about representation. This is about you saying, I want to be filled with more of Jesus in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, Lord God, that Father, we need you more, God. We need to be filled up, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying and I'm asking you, Lord God, as this word came from your throne room, this isn't about me, this is about you and what you wanted spoken today. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that your people will be so filled up, Lord God, that even this week, they're going to know, they're going to feel you, Lord God. They're going to know, God, that you've got greatness in store for them. Holy Spirit, I'm asking for your conviction to come upon them greatly, Lord God, to lead them, to guide them, and to strengthen them in this endeavor, Lord God. So, Father, fill us up. Fill us up, God, in the name of Jesus. It's up, God, that, Father, we are starting to overflow and affect other people around us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. 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 Whew. Lord, I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your power. Jesus. Jesus. If you raised your hand for salvation or rededication, I want you to take the next step. I want you to come to the altar right now. I want you to come up here. We want to pray with you. We want to give you a Bible. We're waiting. Let's give them a hand clap. Jesus. We got another one? Amen. Amen. Proud of you. Let's give them a hand clap again. Jesus, hallelujah. Lord, I pray your blessing upon the house this week. Lord, I thank you, Father, that your hedge of protection angels right now, we dispatch you to protect us and watch over us throughout our week. We pray your blood, Jesus, to cover us and bless us. Father, you have called us. So right now, as we have divine connections, Lord, I thank you that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, that you're going to show us and direct us what we got to do this week. In Jesus' name, amen.